The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. Glad you are here. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register booklet. You'll find the inside aisle of your pew. If you're visiting with us, we'd especially love your name and address so we can give you another word of welcome. We're glad to see everyone today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin, and let me start by saying that immediately following worship, our youth will be hosting a senior singles Valentine luncheon downstairs in the fellowship hall. Some of them are not with us in here right now. They're down there preparing for you. This is for all senior singles, not for those who wish they were single, but for those who are. We want to, our youth want to give you this meal as a gift with Valentine's Day coming up. So if you did not sign up, but you want to go, then please go on down there. They'll be glad to have you immediately following worship today. Notice that we have a new display here at the front about our proposed community life center. And the figures that are on there now are from the end of December. When we have the end of January figures, we'll update that. Each month we'll update it. Not that it'll necessarily stay here all the time, but we'll leave it here for a little while, and then you can come by and look at it and see the picture and the figures. But just as a way of reminding us of God's call to continue to grow and have that as vision for building in the future. On the back of your bulletin, you'll notice that we have a brand new art exhibit on the life of Christ. We have a great privilege of 25 paintings from the life of Christ done by Wendy Wallace, and those are going to be published in a book called The Life of Christ, Experience the Story. These paintings will be on display in our fellowship hall for 3 weeks, from March 11th through the 29th. And what we need is we need volunteers to go to the fellowship hall any hour from 9 to noon on weekdays for those 3 weeks. And there's a sign-up sheet in the hallway. If you can do all 3 hours, that's great. If you can only do 1 hour, that's fine. You can sign up by the hour. And all we need for you to do is just to be in the fellowship hall, just so that if somebody comes in, you don't have to be the one to answer all the questions. You're not going to be a docent. There will be a recording playing continuously that will tell the story of the paintings. We just need someone to be there to kind of watch for things and make sure that nobody takes one of the paintings away, you know, that kind of thing. So if you could do that, we'd appreciate it, and the sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway. Notice that we are recycling. We continue to recycle with the recycle bin in the narthex, but we've had one in the fellowship hall but have not been using it, but now we're going to be using it, so just want to call your attention to that. Notice also that I have a trip planned to Israel coming up in 2020. I'd love for you and youth to join me. And we have an interest meeting scheduled on February the 24th at 5:30. If you want to come, even if you're not sure if you want to go on the trip and just want to come and listen, that's fine too. We welcome one and all to join us at 5:30 on the 24th. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. Invite your prayers for Mark Johnston. He was hospitalized this past week with pneumonia. He's doing a little better. Yesterday was moved to Peak Resources, room 502. So be in prayer for Mark. That's Benny and Becky's son. Francis Tate was in the hospital this past week, had gallbladder surgery on Friday, and then came home yesterday. And Jim is with us today, but she's doing very well, but just continue to pray for her full recovery. Also ask your prayers for Austin Marine, a friend of the Catalanos. He's in the hospital with fluid on his lungs, so be in prayer for Austin. And then continue to pray for Bill Rippey, Bonnie Blaylock's uncle. May be moved to rehab Monday, but continue to pray for his recovery. Also want to add to the list Glenda Andrews. Glenda has been in the hospital the past few days. They discovered a blood clot on her lung, and so she's having some difficulty breathing. So be in prayer for her that that will improve. And I also ask your prayers for Nathaniel Wall. Nathaniel is an 11-year-old, a friend of Chandler Forrester, son of one of the teachers at Chandler School, and just this past week was diagnosed with leukemia. So be in prayer for Nathaniel and for his whole family. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you'd like to mention today? Let me invite you then, as you're able, let's stand together for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. They have scattered abroad their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you and praise you today for the gift of this day, the gift of being alive and being able to be out and about, and then the gift of being here together as your people in your presence, worshiping you, drawing strength from one another as we declare together that you are our Lord and our God. So we pray that you would use every part of this worship service to bring honor and glory to your name through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. God has been faithful to us in so many ways, and we're honest before the Lord. We admit that we have been unfaithful. We've promised things and then gone back on them. We have sinned against God, so let us confess our sin using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know all about us. You know that we love to give it our all, to win in all kinds of sports competitions. But when it comes to living our Christian lives, we sometimes only give a half-hearted effort. We fail to read our Bibles, talk to you in prayer, or seek to help those in need and change things for those who are treated unfairly. In your mercy, forgive us. In your grace, renew a right spirit within us, so that we discipline ourselves to give you the very best we have, all to the glory of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. Amen. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for us. Christian friends, I am so glad that in the end, my salvation, my forgiveness for sins does not depend on me doing good enough, but on the good enough that God has already done in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is through Jesus that we are forgiven. Amen. All the children now to come forward for the children's sermon. As they're coming, why don't you take a moment and greet those close by you and let them know you're glad to see them today. Well, good morning. I'm glad to see all of you today. Before we get to that, I'll tell you what that is. I'm going to give a little disclaimer. This children's sermon is not a political statement, okay? It was not inspired by any politician or any speech. It was inspired by a chapel time that I did with the preschool children at our play school. And I want each of you who wants to stand up. I've got some blocks over here. I want each of you to take a block, and I want you to position it up here and see how high we can build a wall. Okay? I had the children try this. I'm going to let you try it. So just take one. Okay, put it down there. All right. Then you take one and put it anywhere you want to. Now, at some point, the wall is going to fall down. So when it falls, don't feel bad about it. It's going to happen. Just take one. Put it. And let everybody else have a chance. Just take one. Come on. Come on. You can get a chance. All right. Step up there. Let everybody have a chance. Okay. All right. If you haven't placed two, you want to place another one? I know you can't see this, but I'll describe it to you. Okay. At some point. Uh-oh. Oh. Yeah. Okay. All right. You want to take these with you to children's church, you can play some more. Okay, the wall fell down, so we're not going to build another one. Okay. Come around here, let me show you what I've got over here. Thank you. All right, now, do you know, anybody want to guess what this is? It's a model of something. What is it? Tell me. King? Well, no, it's not Bethlehem. This was actually in Jerusalem, on a mountain in Jerusalem. Starts with a T. Temple. This is a model of the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. Now, there's not a temple in Jerusalem today, but there was. Solomon built one, and then there was one back in Jesus' day. He went to the temple. Now, only the priest could go inside here. This is the actual temple building here. Only the priest could go in there, and only the high priest could go in the special room in the back. That was called the Most Holy Place, or the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and the high priest, only one person, could go in there one day a year on the Day of Atonement. But this is a temple where the Jews came to worship, and there were actually some walls outside the temple. There was one wall called the Court of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles are all those people who are not Jews. That would be probably most all of us. They couldn't go any further than the Court of the Gentiles. Then there was a court called the Court of the Women. Guess what? Only men could go beyond that. The women could go no further than that. So there were these walls with these courts around the temple. And then Jesus came, and the New Testament says Jesus came to be our peace, to break down those walls. So that now, can girls only come so far and then stop? No. Is it boys and girls can come to Jesus? Do we have to go to Jerusalem and worship God in the temple? No. Now, God says that Jesus lives in you. When you believe in Jesus, Jesus lives in you. You don't have to go to a temple. You are God's temple. And it's open to everybody. There's nobody here, nobody who could come in those doors that we could say, no, God's temple is not for you. It's open to everybody. So we can thank God for that. Okay, let's have a prayer. Let's pray. You listen, I'll pray. Dear God, thank you that Jesus came to be our peace and break down all the walls so that all of us can believe in you and be your temple. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now, Sharon, I'm going to leave it up to you. Do you want to take these with you? Okay, I'm going to do what Sharon said.
All right,
invite you to look with me in our scripture lesson today, found in Psalm 88, beginning on page 548 in your pew Bible. Psalm 88 is an individual lament, someone who perhaps has been ill for a long time and is now near death and apparently friendless. The author of this psalm has given up on God, but not completely, because he's still praying to God, still in conversation with God. Now, most laments in the Psalms end on some note of praise, but this one ends in the darkness. I remember reading this psalm. It's a special psalm to me because on the night that Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was taken to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. And then we read about the next morning, he appears before Pilate, Pontius Pilate, in a trial. But where was Jesus in those evening, those night hours, say early in the morning from 2 or 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning? We don't know for sure, but there is a pit below the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, that has been found. And that pit was where prisoners were placed. So there's a very good likelihood that Jesus was placed in that pit before they took him out and took him to his trial before Pontius Pilate. And if you go to Caiaphas' house, as a group of us did a couple of years ago, you go down into that pit, you can walk into the pit, and while you're in that pit, they have someone read Psalm 88. And I had the privilege of reading this psalm in that pit, thinking about Jesus during his darkest time. But listen now to this psalm. I'm going to divide it up for you in four sections. The first section is come to the Lord by faith. Come to the Lord by faith. Notice in this section there's a combination of faith and despair. The psalmist writes, Lord, you are the God who saves me. Day and night I cry out to you. May my prayer come before you. Turn your ear to my cry. Notice the combination of faith and despair. Faith in calling out to God, crying out to God day and night, but then wondering if he's being heard. Then the second section, verses 3-9, tell the Lord how you feel. Tell God how you feel. Notice the transition from the passive, I am overwhelmed, to the active, you have put me in the lowest pit. So as you talk to God, do like the psalmist did. Tell God how you feel. Verse 3, I am overwhelmed with troubles, and my life draws near to death. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like one without strength. I'm set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care. You've put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths. Your wrath lies heavily on me. You've overwhelmed me with all your waves. You've taken from me my closest friends and have made me repulsive to them. I'm confined and cannot escape. My eyes are dim with grief. I call to you, Lord, every day. I spread out my hands to you. And then the third section, verses 10 to 14. Defend your cause before the Lord. Verse 10, do you show your wonders to the dead? Speaking to God, do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Are your wonders known in the place of darkness, or your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. It's as if he's telling God how he feels in the depths. But I keep on crying to you. But then, verse 14, why, Lord? Why do you reject me and hide your face from me? Defend your cause. And then the last section, wait for the Lord's answer. Wait for the Lord's answer. From my youth I have suffered and been close to death. I've borne your terrors and am in despair. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have destroyed me. All day long they surround me like a flood. They've completely engulfed me. You have taken from me friend and neighbor. And then the psalm closes on this note. Darkness is my closest friend. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Depressive disorder, often sometimes simply called depression, is more than just feeling sad or going through a rough time in your life. It's a serious mental health condition that requires understanding and medical care. Left untreated, it can have devastating effects for the person and for their loved ones. Fortunately, with early detection and a proper treatment plan, many people can and do get better. Estimates are today that 16 million American adults, now just adults, 16 million, about 7% of the population, had at least one major depressive episode in the past year, just in the past year. Common symptoms include changes in sleep or appetite, lack of concentration, loss of energy, lack of interest in regular activities, intense feelings of guilt or hopelessness, physical aches and pains, and even suicidal thoughts. Often when there is a shooting that we hear about on TV and the news, later in the news, the story of the shooter unfolds, and we hear the words mental illness applied to the shooter sometimes, which can lead some to think that there's a direct connection between mental illness and an act of public violence. Well, there can be, but mental illness is so much broader than that. It's often something that we don't want to talk about until it's too late. Mental illness is any condition that affects a person's thinking, feeling, or mood. It can be thought of as a disability because it can interfere with participation in major life activities. You know, it's so broad, I don't know when I use the phrase mental illness what you think of, but it's actually so broad that it includes conditions like anxiety disorders, anorexia nervosa, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, autism spectrum disorder, bipolar disorder, depressive disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, panic disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, seasonal affective disorder, separation anxiety, social anxiety, and many others. Now, if you take that list, it's a long list and includes a lot of things that affects a lot of us and a lot of people that we love. You ought to be aware of the work of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We support their local work through the Hardin Fund and actually host one of their support groups each week in our hut. I don't know if you know about our hut, but if you walk out in the parking lot and look toward the road and to the right, there's a building there, white building, the sign out front, Graham Presbyterian Hut. There are a number of support groups that meet there, and that's one of them. One of the problems in our society and in the church is that mental illness and mental health issues are issues that we don't often talk about openly. But today I want to mention these. I want to tell you a couple of stories. I'll tell you one mother's story. She says, my daughter, when she was 13, was hit by a car and was fine except for a badly broken leg. The church organized a brigade of casserole makers, and friends and family constantly came to visit and call to check on her. 6 months before that, my daughter had spent 2 months on a psychiatric ward, and we had no casseroles. And I'm not blaming the church or my friends because of the stigma. We just didn't tell them. Nobody came because nobody knew what was going on because nobody wanted to talk about it. I'll tell you another story, a different kind of story, this time from a pastor. It says, I was a young pastor and I didn't even really know what mental illness was. We had a gentleman in our church who obviously loved the Lord a lot, but would often spiral down into seasons of a bipolar disorder. All I knew to do for him was to pray for him and with him, which I did. I've never seen a man pray harder than he did to be delivered from these tormenting cycles in his life. But he was not delivered. In the end, he took his own life. His family was left confused and in great pain. As a pastor, I knew that I was unprepared to address mental health issues in my congregation. Now, hopefully some of this has changed over the years as more pastors and more congregations have become better acquainted with at least some of these issues, but family members surveyed still say how important it is for us to talk about some of these issues, not to act as if they are a taboo topic not to be mentioned. Just talking about them can help begin to peel away some of the stigma related to some mental health issues. To bring it into the public square, one recent survey showed that 26% of people have taken a sick day due to a mental health problem. 58% said they weren't comfortable telling their boss if they were diagnosed with a mental health problem. 20% believed their employer would be supportive of them in that situation, but only 20%. Well, today I want to single out just the issue of depression and talk about it for a few minutes. The psalm that I read, you know, I don't know for sure. I'm not trying to diagnose the writer of the psalm. Don't know for sure, but it sure sounds to me like the writer was going through a time of depression, maybe related to extended illness. And it's interesting to hear the writer talk about his feelings, about God, to God, and yet wonder where God was in his life. So in working through some of these issues, I thought it might be good for us to look at 6 myths about depression, okay, to help us understand a little more. First, now, these are myths. These are things that are not true, okay? First, real Christians don't get depressed. Real Christians don't get depressed. Some people have the mistaken notion that if my faith in Christ is strong enough, it will keep me away from the real life problems that other people face. After all, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's interpreted to mean that if I am strong in Christ, I will never get depressed. If I am depressed, it's because I'm not as good a Christian as I ought to be. Do you think the writer of Psalm 88 was a person of faith? Absolutely. You think that that psalm should be in the Bible? Absolutely. Jesus said to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, now listen to these words of Jesus in the garden. He said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. In Mark's gospel, he says, I am deeply distressed and troubled. I think Jesus understood feelings of depression that overwhelmed him. Hebrews tells us we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus lived this life, and all that is involved in this life, he knows firsthand what it's like to be filled with sorrow and despair. So he understands. Number two, the myth, it won't happen to me. It won't happen to me. We tell ourselves this about everything, about depression, about car accidents, about cancer. But with the great numbers of people who experience depression, and even the great numbers in the church, the chances are it may happen to you. And why not you? Are you above being touched by such things? Is your faith so strong that it vaccinates you against any mental illness? You might remember a young couple that came and sang at our church a couple of times, Emily and Jonathan Martin. They came and kind of gave a concert during worship on two different occasions. Just the other day, I watched Emily Martin on YouTube. You can go to YouTube and put her name in there, Emily Martin, and it'll probably come up. She just recently recorded a video of her talking about her own anxiety and depression. She said that she'd been through a difficult time, and some of her friends had asked her to kind of make it public and talk about it, and so she's recently done that. She talked about how debilitating it was for her that she, and Emily, I've known her most all her life. She's very outgoing. She has a bubbly personality, you know, very positive. And she said that, I thought that depression would not happen to me. It just would not happen to me. But it did. She had such strong feelings of anxiety that just overwhelmed her that she couldn't get out of bed in the morning. And it would just be hours before she could even get herself out of bed to get going. She talked about how she tried to stay in the Word and let God's Word speak to her, but even that was a struggle for a long time. I know that I've been through times of depression, and I can remember one time in particular. There were two books that were of great help to me. One was on the Psalms. But the thing is, it was that book at that time in my life that spoke to me in a special way. So it's not like you say, oh, there's some special book that if I can get a hold of that, it'll help me. What was the name of that book? Well, I don't mind sharing you the name of the book, but I don't believe that there's, you know, there might be another book at another time that will be helpful to you. But I would urge you to stay in God's Word and let God speak to you, even as this psalmist, even when he doubted that God was listening, that God was there, he still stayed in conversation with the Lord. Third myth, it's all in my mind. It's just all in my mind. While the Bible talks about our minds and bodies separately, the two cannot be separated. We are one whole person, so that what happens in our minds affects our bodies. Not like that they're separate. They're one. The psalmist in Psalm 32 talks about how his body felt when in his mind he kept silent and didn't deal with his sins. He said there was a time that I knew I had sinned, but I could not come face to face with it. It's as if I tried to take that sin and bury it somewhere else. I would not face exactly what I had done. And then it affected me physically. He said, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. No, it's not just all in your mind. Then the fourth myth, especially for Christians, I don't need any medication. I don't need any medication. If I just believe in Jesus, if I just write down enough Bible verses, I don't need medication. Well, some Christians think that prayer and Bible reading is the only medication that they need because they see their problems as purely spiritual. That may be true if you were a disembodied spirit, but you are not. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs medication. I'm not that kind of doctor. I can't make that call. But I do know that sometimes there's a chemical imbalance in the brain, there's something else, that you need medication to help you. Now, if you do take meds, and some of them make you feel like a zombie, the side effects of the medication you're taking affects you in that way, then yeah, you need to make some changes. But taking medications is not a sign of a weak Christian faith. Can I say that again? Taking medication is not a sign of a weak Christian faith. We can be thankful that things are provided for us that can help us as we struggle. The fifth myth, there's nothing I can do. There is nothing I can do. Now, I know that feeling, but you have to remember it's a myth. That's the voice of despair and hopelessness. It can be connected to how you feel about your life experiences, but I want you to name it as a lie. It may be how you feel, but it is not all of reality. As Christians, our hope is in God's power, not in our weakness. We read in 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure that God has given us in jars of clay. We are just a clay jar, easily broken. But the treasure is placed in us by God to show us that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. I like that last phrase. You may feel today that you have been struck down, beaten down, but you are not destroyed. By God's grace and by faith in God's power, you are not completely destroyed. You can seek help. You can seek understanding. You can seek for signs of hope instead of despair. And then the last myth, nobody understands or cares. Nobody understands or cares. Now, maybe this has been your life experience. Maybe you have felt that. Isn't it true that we all kind of feel that way at times? Well, nobody fully understands. And maybe the next step, nobody cares. I'm here today to say that we, as your church, want to care. Maybe we have failed in caring for you in the way you would like to be cared for. I understand that. We're human, and sometimes we fail. But as a church, I want us to commit ourselves to the desire to be there for you. And if you're struggling with something and you let somebody know, we want to respond. We don't want to push it to the side or act as if it's not important or forget you. 1 Peter 5:7, we read, cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. I can tell you for sure, if every human being in your life has let you down and acts like they don't care, I'm sorry, but Jesus does care. And I want us to be like Jesus and care if you cast your cares on the Lord. Now, Psalm 88 ended with that phrase, darkness is my closest friend. John's gospel begins with this description of Jesus. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here is your ray of hope. You may feel like you're covered by darkness and that your only friend even is darkness, but Jesus' light is greater than our darkness. So cling to him. Let us pray. Oh Lord, this is such a complex issue. No one sermon can solve all of the problems. But Lord, we want to be aware of those who are struggling with depression and then some of these other issues as well. Lord, there are parents who are just dying because they don't know how to respond to some of the needs of their children. They're doing the best they can, and it seems like it's not enough, and they feel like they're drowning. Whatever the need today, Lord, I pray that you would let people know that indeed you are the light, and then help us as the body of Christ, to be the body of Christ, to be the body that reaches out to help those who feel lost in the darkness, those who feel like they're drowning, those who feel like that even God has abandoned them. Help us not to abandon them, but to reach out in need. Lord, it takes compassion, it takes energy, it takes creativity for us to do that. So give us what we need, Lord, to be that kind of light in the darkness. Lord, we pray for those who are struggling today, those we've mentioned on our prayer list. Lord, some of them are going through such physical problems that it may be taking them into a time of depression. We pray that you would reach out and help not only the person who is sick, but the family members around them who are wondering what will be next. We pray that you'd be with each of them and give them the strength that they need. Lord, thank you that you do. By faith, we know that you are still there, that you do hear our prayers. Sometimes we wonder, and sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But help us to have the faith to know that indeed you are there, even as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let me invite you now to affirm your Christian faith using the ancient creed all the way back to the 4th century, the Nicene Creed. You'll find it in your bulletin. Let us, as you're able, please stand together and let's say what we believe. We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We affirm one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look forward to the resurrection of the dead and to life in the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now respond with praise. Praise from our hearts and praise in the gifts that we give to God's glory.
Cause
Well, Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus, the Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to know that you are with us today. And whatever we are facing, you're not far away. You are near. So help us to draw near to you even as we give these gifts as a sign of our faith in you. Lord, take them and use them so that others might know your light. Through Jesus Christ, amen. If you're here today, you yourself, or maybe there's someone that you love dearly, even if they're not here today, who is imprisoned by something going on in their life physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, let it be our prayer that we would be the ones to encourage them, that we would not turn away from them, turn our backs on them, but turn toward them. And that they would know that Jesus himself is turning toward them as well. So as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit provide all the healing that you need, provide for your every need, even as God prepares you for that day that he will present you before himself, faultless, in his glory, to enjoy him forever.